Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Larkin, the host of Beauty, Strength, and Dominance, the LFC podcast, the co-host of the Stephen Mike Show, and one-third of the Max Wrestling Podcast, and you are listening to the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Tune in and relax and unwind.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm DJ Impact, and I have all of the Vegas Bad Boys here with me. We're going to start off with our three count for tonight. It's time.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting present.
One, two, three.
Count talk.
Count talk, baby.
And the first one comes from Sports Illustrated. The title of that is Removal of Paul Heyman, a reminder that Vince McMahon controls all things WWE. So the article talks about how Paul Heyman was officially removed from Monday Night Raw as the show executive director. Heyman's strength was his ability to book stories over a longer period of time. Sports Illustrated also said they contacted 10 different wrestlers active on the Raw roster, and each noted that Heyman's greatest strength was his guidance, recommendation, and direction. They also noted that they hoped that Heyman will still be at television each week to critique their work. So what it comes down to is my first question for all of you. Do any of you think this was a good move? Let's go.
No, it seems like it might have been more of a rush decision too. When you look at all the factors surrounding what happened, certainly there's rumors out there that the network isn't happy either. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see. Heyman had a good pulse of what the new wrestling needed to look like. And so you saw him push different talents that weren't pushed in the past. So it's an unfortunate thing. And hopefully there may be a change if the network truly doesn't like it.
Let me ask you, Sid City, Steve, do you think that this could be too much work for Bruce Pritchard, because apparently now he's taken over Raw, but he's also still over SmackDown? Could this be too much?
Well, I think that more than anything, what we're going to see is, it wouldn't surprise me if there was even more parody to the stories from mm-hmm. show to show. I just, as is human nature, once you get on a certain train of thought, it's really difficult to change that up and go about things from a totally different way of looking at things, mm-hmm. Which is definitely something that I think needs to happen. And that way you do not have synergy between the brands. You don't want to tune in on Monday and see basically the same show that you saw on Friday and vice versa.
Yeah.
The two brands cannot mix whatsoever. They cannot, the themes and the angles, the storylines cannot be the same between the two shows.
Yeah.
I think until we see that, then we'll be fine. But the moment that we start to see that is when we all know that it's going to go down mm-hmm. very quickly.
Yeah. Simon Street, the article speaks that Heyman's role that lasted for nearly a year was doomed when the XFL shattered and filed for bankruptcy, freeing McMahon to focus entirely on WWE. So was Vince McMahon just bored, or was he just trying to show his power? I mean, what's your take on that?
I don't think he was bored or anything like that, but I think obviously when one door temporarily closes or permanently closes, you focus your attention on your other investments. And I mean, obviously I mean, it's no surprise that, you know, the WWE has always been the prize that Vince McMahon holds dear to. So why would he not focus all of his attention back on, you know, what he knows best? And I think that's why you're going to start seeing a lot of those types of changes that we're kind of seeing now.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, Matt Michaels. Sports Illustrated say that the timing is smart, as there will be short-term rating gains that McMahon can champion to his investors. Do you agree with this?
I think that it's kind of a fucking stupid point. This is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is that if you're going to tell me Vince McMahon has not had his finger on this product, because every one of you fuckers, including myself, blame Vince when anything is wrong.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So he's had his finger on this thing the whole time. It's just a matter of, for whatever reason, he feels comfortable putting it all on Bruce. I essentially think that he wants to put Bruce in the grave.
Yeah.
He's already had two heart attacks. You know, you're trusting on a guy who is getting up there in age in terms of already having physical problems.
Yeah.
So not put it all on him, which, you know, okay, the reason he's doing that is because Bruce is probably the one of the only guys who will pick up the phone at fucking 3 o'clock in the morning. You know?
Yeah.
And I don't know if, you know, did Heyman do that? I don't know. The reporting also comes from Meltzer. So is that, can we trust it? I don't know. Steve, what does Uncle Dave have to say lately to you?
Hey, man, we'll see. We'll see how everything unfolds. So,
I mean,
obviously, we only see surface level. I guarantee that there are several different chess moves that we haven't seen come into play as of yet.
So apparently it's saying that Heyman likes to create storylines that builds up over time. Mm-hmm. And apparently we can't wait for these build up stories. We need things to happen right now so that these ratings can start moving up higher.
But that's the whole problem. Every time we've talked about the WWE product,
mm-hmm.
what do we always say? Oh, they need better storyline time.
Mm-hmm.
They need a bigger buildup, a longer length, mm-hmm. you know, stories that are coherent like that.
Yep. I actually don't mind it. I actually like it like that.
Yeah.
Because
I was just about to ask you is who's we?
Every one of you guys.
Fast? Me? I never said I needed that shit fast. I just wanted to be done right.
You're not even listening to what I'm fucking saying.
All right, wouldn't say it.
I've said that every one of us had said that we want the length.
Mm-hmm.
That we want stories
longer.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is that here this article is basically saying, no, the viewers need a quicker product now. That Vince wants a quicker storyline. Well, yeah, no shit. Vince wants a quicker storyline. He's been doing that now for fucking 15 years. So what the fuck is the – I mean,
but listen,
he brought in Bischoff. Bischoff didn't work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not the fans. It's Vince. It's as simple as that.
So will the quicker storylines result in people going, oh, let me turn and see what Raw's doing?
That's what we've been getting.
Mm-hmm.
You can say that Paul Heyman likes the longer storylines, which is probably true. You saw ECW, you know, they didn't crash book. But the fact of the matter is even in charge, they weren't doing longer storylines.
Mm-hmm.
Can any of you guys say that you noticed the fucking change between, you know, anyone between Heyman and Bischoff and Pritchard all being there at the same time? There hasn't been a fucking change.
No.
So I think the article is written from perspective of, you know, this is the old man and he's just ruining his own product. And that's a popular opinion that he wants to just bury it before he's done. you know, let it die as he dies. So I think it's ridiculous. The fact of the matter is that we've already seen crash booking. It's going to continue to crash book. And basically, unless you find, I mean, seriously, right now, you look at your two champions, Drew McIntyre and Braun Strowman. First of all, what's the difference between the two of them? They're two huge monsters.
Yeah.
And you don't have a roster full of huge monsters. You know, so if you put the titles, the main titles, on two big guys, then you either better find a huge amount of big guys or it's going to be just a shit show anyway. I don't know how you solve it.
I'm surprised you're so silent over there, King Lucky. I mean, this is your baby here, Raw here. Are you
yeah, no shit.
Yeah,
he's about to prophesize. That's what he's about to do.
I mean, are you kind of disappointed at this, or
all
what?
The points that he touched on is spot on. You know, you look at McMahon, and I don't know if it's he wants to bury it before he goes out, but I just think he's so out of touch, and he is stuck in an old way of thinking, and it's tough for him to get past that because you look at some of the guys that they've promoted now. And they did that based on, you know, somebody else's opinions and not necessarily his, but he always circles back to the same thing that he's comfortable with. So, you know, it's important that we always say it once, unfortunately, he's maybe gone or stepped aside.
There you go.
You know, then things won't change until then. So I think, you know, ultimately, who gets the book? After he steps away, I think it should be Triple H because you looked at last week's show versus, you know, maybe this week, and we'll talk about that later.
Did you just attempt a fantasy book, The Death of Vince McMahon?
I told you, prophesizing.
No, so, I mean, man.
I'm just saying, like,
listen, he's done
you
a
do
lot
you,
of
all right? You do you.
He's done a lot of great for the business, right? You wouldn't have a business if it wasn't for, you know, him bringing it to where it's at now. So I truly respect and honor and love him for that. But, you know, they after the Attitude Era, you know, this has been a consistent problem. You know, Ruthless Aggression got a little bit better. But the lack of stars and the ability, you know, the inability, rather, to build stars has really hurt them.
Which has really been self-inflicted, though, because, you know, the period after the Attitude Era, the only real stars that they built, Cena and Orton.
Basically.
Yeah.
And now Reigns. But, you know, who knows how that's going to unfold. But,
you forgot
it's completely self-inflicted, too. Brother.
Lesnar, too. So they created it was Cena, Lesnar, Batista, and Orton. The four guys who came up together are the guys that they solidified on top of the card and Triple H.
Right.
And Hunter. So you have five people basically intermixing for the longest time. But at the same time, for those of you who like to bring up the Attitude Era, Stone Cold and The Rock, right?
Taker?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but Taker's hard because he's universal, right? He spans across 30 years.
What about Triple H?
Well, that's it. Triple H was building during the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
But he wasn't top tier yet.
I think one thing why a lot of people look back on the Attitude Era so fondly, for better or for worse, was because almost every single person on that roster had a storyline going in some way, shape, or form. So, you know, and obviously there are a few exceptions, but for the most part, everyone had, you know, some sort of a storyline. They were engaged somehow in some way with the audience and vice versa.
It would also, to kind of piggyback on that too, I mean, it was more of versatility, of their origin stories. It wasn't cookie cutter, which I feel sometimes the product we have now is like cookie cutter feeding us with a goddamn spoon, and we're just tired of it.
But you got it. You have to compare. You're saying cookie cutter, but at the same time, the Attitude Era was basically cookie cutter, but at the same time, it was cookie cutter using a porn star. It was cookie cutter using hot lesbian action. You know what I'm saying? It was totally geared towards adult audiences. I can't see your hands, DJ.
Especially with those noises he's making.
Handshake.
Yeah. He's going Otis over there.
Dude, we need to get you another box of tissue.
are you pulling your tucky there?
Hold on. Real quick, everybody hands up.
His tissue budget is not coming out of the show's budget, I'll tell you that.
All right, guys, let's jump over into
Put your hands up. Oh, I can't see one.
Whatever. Anyway. So
they're well moisturized now.
Our second count tonight.
You know what? Semen acts as a blocker. So because you had it on your hand, that's why we couldn't see that hand.
Guys, look.
Now okay. When you said semen was a blocker, I thought of a different blocker.
Shame. Shame to each and every one of you. I shame each one of you. Now let's get to the second count.
Just wash your hands first.
Sorry to disappoint, Dad.
From essentiallysports.com. It's titled.
What the fuck kind of a fucking source is this, by the way?
An important source. They are an important source. So we're going to see. You know why you're beating?
Well, I mean, clearly, they're essential.
You are beating them up because you already know where this story is going, and you're such a AEW mark. You already have things you want to say. So just
he just labeled you.
Oh, man. I'm sorry.
All right.
I apologize. I'm supposed to be non-biased on this. I'm sorry.
But that's been the running joke for 100 and some episodes now.
Guy, please. Please, we cannot in this country in this damn time have company on company violence, okay? Can't we be AEW and WWE people just get along?
By the way, I like AEW too. Let me get to the story, please. EssentiallySports.com, all right? It's titled, How Could You Mess Up Jake Hager, Chris Jericho Takes a Dig at WWE. So apparently he sat down with an Adam Wilburn of What Culture and talked about his career. So I'm just going to read you a few quotes of what Jericho was saying on this show, and then we'll talk about it. I didn't anticipate it would get so big so quickly. I knew we had a chance to become a huge entity in pro wrestling. I knew Matt Michaels was going to go off on that one, but that's the Jericho's quote. It all happened basically in a few months. I just like being able to tell stories like, wow, we have total freedom in AEW to entertain and give people a viable option, an alternative to WWE. He also says that, are we competing to WWE? Of course, by proxy, but we don't think of it that way. We're just doing our thing and want to give an alternative, something different in what wrestling is supposed to be. And in our world, it's letting the artists be artists, be as creative as you can, and let's do it. He also talks about a time, and he goes, I did something last night. I came up with at 6 o'clock at night. The show starts at 8, and in WWE, there's no way that could happen. It would have to go through 10 heads of stage to get approval, and blah, blah, blah. So when I had an idea, I told Tony Khan my idea, and 10 minutes later, we're doing it. That's what being creative is all about. There is no time limit on being creative. And lastly, spoke of, so for me, AEW has been very liberating and is reinvigorating my love for wrestling. Look at Moxley now compared to what he was in WWE. It's a different guy. Not the same. Look at Brody Lee. They wouldn't even put him on TV. Now he's headlining pay-per-views and kicking ass while he's doing it.
Come on, Steve. Stop shaking your head. That's bullshit.
He says, I always knew that Jake Hager could do what Jake Hager could do, and they didn't let him do that in WWE. And now he's our killer.
He's bearing the shit out of everybody. He looks good and he's big. Like, how could you mess up Jake Hager in the pro wrestling business? Look, I'm not bagging on WWE, but they do things differently than AEW. I want to do things like AEW till the end of my career. Okay, we got a lot to talk about. Now, look.
Can I just say real quick that if I ever need someone to read me a bedtime story, I want your ass to do it, because that was well said.
Absolutely. I got prices starting as low as $5. It depends on how long the story is. Okay, we'll talk about it after the show.
Storytelling.com.
Now, look, we know.
You have a storytelling OnlyFans page.
There you go. Now, look, Jericho thoughts are his thoughts, right? But we want to see how are those thoughts being displayed in our eyes. Let's start off with the one about Brody Lee, okay? He says, look at Brody Lee. They wouldn't even put him on TV. Now he's headlining pay-per-view and kicking ass while doing it. Fellas, is Brody Lee showing to be a good investment for AEW?
Who won the match?
What?
Well, you're saying that the fucking quote says that he's on pay-per-views kicking ass. Who won the fucking pay-per-view match? Wasn't Brody.
Obviously, he didn't win the match, but that's not the ultimate determining factor.
But he's still winning.
Right.
He's still winning. Let me tell you, he is gathering a force.
He's so much better off in AEW than what he was in WWE.
Well, okay.
WWE, he was running around in a fucking wife beater that hadn't been washed in 4.5 years. And that was his gimmick. He was from the swamp. He was a fucking dirty ass bum that never washed his shit.
How'd you like the Wyatt family?
Huh? I love the Wyatt family.
You love the Wyatt family?
I love the cult aspect of the Wyatt family. I thought that Brody and Rowan could have been booked a lot better.
Yes.
A lot better.
And not called the fucking Bludgeon Brothers.
Well, I mean, even if that's part of a repackaging, I mean, you know, that ultimately Vince did not know, and Vince and company did not know what to do with Brody Lee. That's plain to see from what he's been doing. Now, I'm not saying that he's the greatest or anything crazy, but he is exponentially better in AEW thus far than what they let him be in WWE.
Is that because he's copying Vince McMahon?
Well, according to him, he's not copying Vince McMahon.
Listen.
Right.
Is he in a better place in AEW? Yes. He's a big fish in a smaller pond. Okay. But to me, I mean, he's not, you know, until we see more out of what they're doing here, he debuted, and we talked about it at length, that the Dark Order storyline has been kind of whatever since he debuted, right? But, you know, it's still early on, you know. But I do like what Chris Jericho said there about the creativity and how they can go and pitch an idea and, you know,
we'll jump over into that. We're talking specifically about Brody Lee right now. We're gonna talk about his thoughts and see if we agree with that. So okay. So let's jump over now to Jake Hager. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, he says, and look, WWE, they didn't know what to do with him, and now he's our killer. Okay? He's bearing the shit out of everybody. He looks good, and he's big. Like, how could you mess up Jake Hager in pro wrestling business? Okay, fellas, here we go. Is Jake Hager showing to be their killer? Is he a good investment so far since he's been a part? Let's go.
Yet to be determined. Because at the end of the day, I agree with the sentiment of what he was saying, that WWE did not know how to book Hager in his later parts of his career in WWE. They just fell short, didn't know what the fuck to do with him. They hooked him up with all types of different things. But right now, he seems to be on a of course, with AEW.
Well, look, there were people that was crossing borders.
You know what? Yeah, but at the end of the day, it was weak sauce as fuck. It, plain and simple.
Okay.
It wasn't. If you probably ask him himself, he'll tell you he wasn't thrilled about it toward the end of his career with WWE. But AEW, so far, so good. I like the way that they are building him up. I like now that they have him to where, if I may say, he's going to be going towards, you know, grabbing the title now. You know, I think it's good. I like seeing him in this way. That's just my opinion. Michaels looked like his eyes about to roll in the back of his fucking head. But, you know, it is what it is. You know what I mean? It is what it is.
I mean, do you see him enough on TV to get the idea of him being a killer?
I would say maybe a killer in a Disney movie at this point. I haven't seen him be a killer yet. I've seen people on AEW be a killer.
I mean, I've seen Wardlow fight more than him, and to me, Wardlow would be a killer.
He's a killer.
But
Wardlow looked like somebody to choke you out with some string and shit.
But again, that goes back to what I'm saying about what Jericho was saying, okay, about Jake. You know, he's telling us, and of course, these are his feelings, and he should sell AEW this week. I'm just saying,
but you have it's to what realize he's saying is how Jericho saying that's how Jericho talks. Mm-hmm. If Jericho was talking about that Impact, let me tell you right now, that guy right there, he looks quiet, but I tell you right now, he will come out of the shadows of his Bad Boys Vegas Bad Boys emblem and kill you. That's how Jericho is. If you hear him on commentary on AEW, that's how he is. He's excited.
Jericho is a master of hyperbole.
He's a master of hyperbole.
Well, Hager so far, I'm not convinced. You know, he hasn't done anything that has sold me. Like, even if they came back, and I see Steve sides, but even if they come back to live audiences, like, huh?
It all depends on who the matchup is, though, I really think. It all depends on who the matchup is. I'm excited for what they showed us on Wednesday. I'm not going to give it away. But I'm saying I thought it was really cool because I could see that be a hot match.
Until he surpasses the success that he had in WWE, that's...
Fuck!
Yeah.
He gonna surpass that in a year.
Yeah.
They totally shit on him, bro. In fact, to be real with you, let me finish. The career that he had in WWE was fire at the start. And then they shit on him towards the end. So
that's what I'm saying, the apex of his popularity.
What the fuck are you talking about? First of all, wow. What a Jericho impersonation. Wow. His career was never fucking fire. All right?
That was cool when he first came.
He was awful. And he's been awful the whole time. I can't... speak a lick on the fucking microphone. Mm.
He had a list problem. I think he got that fixed.
No.
Oh, no. First of all, we're not against people.
What's the tapper in the game?
So, real quick, how that word is just really fucked up to begin with. Lisp.
Why is that?
The pronunciation of it.
I'm sorry. I would try to be more sensitive and not use that word. Speech impediment?
I tried. I'm sorry.
I mean, the way you said it was like I crossed the line, like I violated and shit. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Anybody want to make any more points about Hager before I jump into Chris Jericho's other feelings
he has legitimacy because of his MMA exploits, however good or however bad they be. So yeah, I see you already talking shit over there, Michaels. But
just as much as CM Punk has legitimacy from
hey, Hager
has won. Hager has won a professional fight, which is more than can be said for CM Punk.
Wow.
And he actually looked good in the. He actually looked good in his match. He didn't look like shit.
Then Hager go back to MMA.
Let me ask you this.
That's not real personal.
Could you, let's say Jericho got an injury and, you know, had to step aside or be off for an extended amount of TV, could you see him as the leader of the Inner Circle?
Hager?
Yeah. No, I can still see him
draw him out
as the enforcer. I can see him as an enforcer.
Yeah, he's playing the role that he really should play in that stable.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to be the silent enforcer mm-hmm. until he actually has to get on the mic and then makes an ass out of himself.
Yeah,
like the thing Poetry. A couple of weeks ago when he read the poem and he fucking, you know, fucking botched that shit.
See, this is the problem. This is the problem. The fact of the matter is that you have a company, right, that has their top guys are actually office guys, right? Those are your CEOs and whatever.
Executives.
Yeah. There you go. And then you're looking at your wrestlers outside of Jericho and Moxley. Then you're looking at guys like Hager and Brody Lee. And it's like, if you say they failed in WWE, but if you look at what they had to do in the WWE and you look at what they're doing here, Brody Lee is beating, you know, Pineapple Pete.
Okay.
Right? Over there, at least he was losing matches to, you know, bigger talent. You know, this just makes no sense. It's like they brought in these guys and put them on too big of pedestals.
Mm. All right, let's jump over here, okay? Now, Chris Jericho, okay, he's feeling great right now. And
Just look at Steve.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay.
He's biting his lip, motherfucker.
Look, Jericho, he's feeling great. He's doing great within AEW. In fact, within this article, there was a paragraph that was titled, Chris Jericho has never been freer. Okay? And then he talks about, again, how he came up with an idea at 6 o'clock, and the show started at 8, and, you know, he had no idea that Tony Khan was going to take up his idea 10 minutes before the show. So he's loving that, right? Because you're just not going to get that in WWE, according to Jericho. But this is the question I have. Is he only able to do this because he's Jericho? Or does other talent that's been AEW can go up to Tony Khan and say, hey, I have an idea 1 hour before the show, and it will most likely be considered, and it would take place?
That's Sonny Kiss.
Okay.
Well, he was actually on TV this
week. Yeah, I was going to say.
I mean,
it looks like they're finally starting to do something with
him. Yeah.
Well,
hold on, King Lucky. So then you guys are saying, so then Sonny Kiss went to Tony Khan and said, hey, put me on TV. And Tony was like, all right, go.
Well, we don't know that for sure.
Not just put me on TV.
Right.
Fuck, DJ.
It's all creative.
Yeah, it's creative. So maybe Sonny did come up with something with Janela, and they're like, hey, let's go this way, because Janela was calling out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think Tony Khan will listen, but Tony Khan is the fucking mark.
Hmm. Okay.
But I also think.
Wait, hold on, Simon Street. Simon Street, hold on, because I stopped King Lucky from talking. I really want him to get his chance. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say that I've watched a lot of interviews with talent and stuff like that, and they talk about how he's open to letting people pitch ideas and things like that, and they'll run with it and see what happens. So, you know, it's all still very new. So that's the reason why they can do that, even though he has a great wrestling mind and he knows all these dates and matches and stuff like that. I think it's cool that they are allowed to do that, you know. The same thing happens in WWE. It just doesn't make TV.
Wait, so you're just, go ahead.
Tony Khan has a great wrestling mind.
Yeah,
that's not a wrestling mind. That's an ability to absorb fucking stats of people winning matches and losing matches and events.
Hey, Matt, greatness recognizes greatness, all right? Let Lucky say that Tony Khan has the greatest. He knows. Lucky would know.
I would know, by the way. He is a student of the business. Okay. And I'm not just saying that because he recognizes matches.
Yeah, no. When they take it. The guy fucking didn't even know who the Young Bucks were.
Maybe he's just a WWE one.
All right.
Well, look here. I mean, Sin City, you're the one quiet on this one. I just want to know, is the talent, even the ones that are ringside, you know, the ones that can't get in the ring, Can they go up to Tony Khan and say, hey, next week, man, I know I got a good idea. I want to pitch and, you know, I want to be in there next week. And Tony Khan be like, all right. Or is it just that because of who Jericho is, he more than likely can pitch a great idea and it most likely will be accepted and maybe go on air 10 minutes before?
So, obviously, I mean, it's pretty simple to say that they're going to trust someone like Jericho or somebody that has a proven track record with, you know, giving him more creative freedom. That's, you know, that should be exactly how it is. But, you know, when you've got somebody that's, you know, just itching to get on TV and, you know, and they might be unproven, at the end of the day, I would like to believe that they're going to give that person a shot. It's one of those things where we have to look at the sample size that exists. AEW has been around for a year.
Yeah.
So, you know, from where they were when they launched a year ago to now, I think that they've definitely made some good strides. Obviously, you do have to go against the clock with the amount of TV time that you have available, and you have to tell the appropriate stories.
Right.
You know, so at the end of the day, it's a matter more so, I would think, of balancing everything to get it into the show.
Yeah.
And yes, you do have to prioritize your top level guys and girls and give them the shine and the spotlight that they need and deserve.
Yeah.
But I would to bottom line answer your question.
Yeah.
I firmly believe, based on everything that we've been told by the people on the roster, that Tony Khan available and willing to listen for feedback and, you know, trying to get people on the show.
All right. Well, I think that's cool.
And there were a couple of talents recently that did pitch him, and the idea must have went through. It's Chris Stratlander and Britt Baker. They pitched this whole thing about, hey, if we blow out our ACLs.
I knew you were going there.
It worked.
I knew you were going there.
Ouch.
And even still, when you started and you just launched into it. Oh, fuck.
Man.
Oh, boy.
That's why we tore it up there. Tore it up.
That's why we love Matt Michaels. All right. We're going to go into our third count tonight, fellas.
Three.
From BleacherReport.com.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, you guys know that one.
It's
titled Lessons Vince McMahon, WWE, and Tony Khan, AEW Can Learn from Each Other. And they start off by saying one of the perks of WWE and All Elite Wrestling being in competition with each other means both sides can reap the benefits of learning from others' mistakes while capitalizing on strategies that prove fruitful for the opposition. WWE is the veteran promotion of the two, but even old dogs should learn new tricks to stay relevant. Similarly, AEW is the fresh, exciting product, but it must acknowledge its rookie status and be wary that youth doesn't always trump experience. Assuming Vince McMahon and Tony Khan are keeping an open mind to all of this, let's look at the lessons they can learn from watching each other within the world of sports entertainment. So, guys, I'm just going to go. There were six of them that was mentioned. And then you guys could kind of say, is this something that they can learn from one another, or neither one of them are doing it right? Or as far as you're concerned, they're both doing it right, or whatever's going on, okay? The first one is athleticism versus psychology. And the main point of that is that it's about moderation and finding a mix between sports and entertainment, story and action. There's no need for an hour-long kickoff of a WWE show that has 10 minutes of wrestling. Nor should AEW program feel like it's just a collection of stunts with no depth. All right. What's your take on that? This is a good point. They both can learn something from each other, okay? What do you guys think? I'm going to start over with you, King Lucky. And these are big articles. I hope you guys did your homework. Go ahead, King Lucky.
You know, it's AEW right now has a great, you know, library of information to pull from when it comes to production. And for their programming so far, I think they've done a good job, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are trying to do a couple of things, like they're trying to establish stars and talent and things like that. So still really early on for them. Conversely, WWE, you know, they've learned some things and, you know, they changed up camera angles and audio and different things like that. So, I mean, I definitely think that it won't hurt your product. If you see something working well, then why not?
Yeah, what was the actual question again?
So, bottom line, they're starting off with the first one, athleticism versus psychology, right? And
yeah, that has nothing to do with what you just answered. Like,
I know. This is that. So let me do this. Let me go. Let me start over to you. Let me go over you to Sin City, because I mean, they bring up some pretty points, and I don't want to read line from line of the article. That's why I had to go down each one and really read it. The bottom line, though, I guess you could say that when it comes to athleticism, you can kind of say that's more like AEW versus the psychology is more of where WWE kind of comes from. Okay, and they're saying it that there used to be a mix between both sports and entertainment, story and action. It's important. So to give an example, there's no need for an hour-long kickoff of a WWE show that has 10 minutes of wrestling. You know, sometimes, you know, if you were to see a match like that, you're going, okay.
Sometimes.
I know, right?
Every time.
But then again,
you're talking every show.
But nor should an AEW program feel like it's just a collection of stunts and no depth. So it goes long and it's just doing all these kicks. And so what can they both sort of learn from each other if you think there should be learning, period?
So I think that, you know, they make a great point there. You know, the fact that with WWE, it feels like as if – and this is going to sound like this is a diss on the promo packages, but it's definitely not.
Yeah.
They'll run the same promo package sometimes twice in an hour.
Uh-huh.
And it's one of those things where, you know, the work that the people do that create those promo packages and the cinematics and things of that nature, that is amazing. But at the end of the day, they're selling everything leading up to the match, which obviously is meant to get people emotionally invested. Mm-hmm. Completely understand that, and I'm definitely not saying that they have really much to worry about. Really, when it comes down to it, show length tends to be an issue. We all know that, you know, that I complain about the 3-hour Raws,
sure,
nonstop.
Yeah,
and I know that, you know, people like Matt Michaels are probably fed up with me talking about that. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, that's one thing.
Yeah.
Another thing that I think that AEW needs to learn conversely is going to be that, you know, there, you do have to get emotionally invested in the matches.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just blindly, you know, throw two names or get two names out of a number generator and pit them together with no storyline, no lead up, no anything whatsoever.
Right.
And they're definitely guilty of that.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody to get that twist. This article did a really good job in actually pitting those two things together, because at the end of the day, they are the same, and WWE and AEW are polar opposites. Both sides need to come together a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
In order to achieve the desired product, at least for me.
Right.
So it's one of those things where, yeah, meet in the middle a little bit, or, you know, whichever company moves more so to the middle of that spectrum.
Yeah.
That'll be the show that I continue to watch first, because I obviously have to watch them all because we do this. But if we didn't, no, seriously,
no, I hear you.
Like, sure. if we didn't do the show, then it's really difficult to say which show that I would watch. So that's something that people shouldn't have to make that decision on this or that. It should be this and that.
I got you. Did either Matt Michaels or Simon Street want to comment on that, or I'm going to go right to the next one, and then you guys will get that? You're good? Okay. So let's go to the next one. The next one he mentions, and again, these are lessons that Vince McMahon and Tony Khan can learn from each other during these times, and experience
versus sort of a rookie company. Let's see what they can learn. Quality and quantity for match length isn't always the same. So what it breaks down, the most important matches with the best in-ring performance should be given plenty of time. Quick fights should be used for shock value or to put over someone strong, okay? Quality and quantity don't mean the same thing. And then it gives an example. AEW should not take note that matches don't have to be lengthy in order to be good. Star ratings aren't given out every 5 minutes. However, WWE can occasionally go too far in the opposite direction. And sometimes a squash match can be okay, but it should be done sparingly to make superstars stand out. So I'm going to go over to you, Simon Street. Do you agree with this? Okay, quality and quantity for match length isn't always the same. How can these two learn from each other and how they go about this?
I mean, it definitely is a very true statement. I mean, just with anything, you're always going to want to balance out, you know, quantity over quality or vice versa, however you want to put it. I will say that it's interesting with this business because you have to anticipate what the majority of your viewerships and people there are like. What is their style? You know, what do they prefer? Do they like a long drawn out match, you know, and have quality? Are they simply someone that just did, you know, they love squash matches. You know, they're not really invested in the story because, I mean, a lot of times when I talk to different wrestling fans, it's almost 50-50 sometimes, to be honest with you. There's some people who really care about the quality. And then there's some people that just, they had a big melee out of nowhere, you know, just two different random people and they got it on. It was exciting. I loved it. But I will say having a balance between the two is greatly important. And I will say with regards to AEW and WWE, trying to find some consistency to keep that balance is probably in both companies' best interest. However they decide to do it would be great. I will say for me personally, I would like to see WWE do that more often. You know, because sometimes personally I feel that they don't lean toward that balance of quality over quantity.
So it's almost so a quality and quantity, they're pretty much looking as if one company is giving one or the other. They're definitely not giving both. Let me just go over to you though, Matt Michaels. It does say, look, the most important matches with the best in-ring performers should be given plenty of time. Okay. But the quick bouts should be used for shock value or to put over someone strong. First off, we already know that, Lesnar and Kofi are already known. They don't need to, they don't have to do anything to try to put someone over. But when Brock took Kofi out in about 10 seconds, that right there was shock value. So it's showing you sort of the difference here about having quality and quantity. They don't mean the same thing. And it's important how you use both of them. So my question to you is, how is AEW and WWE sort of either doing that already or how they can learn from each other when it comes about doing either quality or quantity matches?
Well, I think that it's interesting when you say learn from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think that anyone in this business really at that scope learns from each other. They steal from each other.
Okay.
And whoever ends up doing it better once they've stolen it, you know, it's usually the second person because they had something to blueprint off.
Right. So, yep.
But I think when you're talking about something like a squash match, the best example was NXT's pay-per-view Cross beat the shit out of Ciampa.
Mm-hmm.
And it was justifiable.
Right.
Because you had someone who was so established to that brand, who was known as such a tough competitor, get his ass handed to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you tell us, you're telling a story with that, as opposed to just having you know, your regular just a jobber match. But look at what AEW from, you know, the perspective of Chris calling out Pineapple Pete. Pineapple Pete gets a match against Jericho, and of course it's going to be a squash match.
Yeah.
But you've just made someone a household name.
Right.
By just calling him Pineapple Pete.
Right.
So, you know, it's sometimes it just fucking works.
And in that instance right there, and I don't remember it going pretty long, but it shouldn't have been a 20-minute Jericho versus Pineapple Pete match either. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, it's just get it in, beat him. But yes, he does get his name out there now. And yeah. No, I got you. Go ahead.
He mentions him too. I'm sorry to interrupt. He even mentions him this week, so it kind of draws you back to the original reason of why he made Pineapple Pete a household name. Obviously, it's a good way to lead up to something down the road if they choose to pull that trigger.
Okay, I'll go to the next one. Sin City of King Luck, if you want to mention anything else on that one, you can in this next topic, but it's proper pacing for storylines. Okay. And again, this this whole article is just saying how each company can learn from each other. Okay, the proper pacing for storylines. Moving at a snail's pace leads to fans being over a storyline before it gets started, or expectations building past the point they can be met. It says WWE has a terrible track record of stretching things out too long. Oh, maybe that's why they got rid of Heyman. Doesn't say that. I'm just adding that. For instance, Bayley and Sasha Banks have been teasing a feud to start between them since 2018 Royal Rumble, but they made
for them to start between them.
But there's other things that have happened too.
Right. Okay. Hold up. To start between them since the 2018 Royal Rumble, but they may still not even fight at SummerSlam this year. And he's just assuming this. Okay. At the same time, there's no need to unveil Brody Lee, Lance Archer, and Brian Cage and immediately push them to a title shot within weeks and leave them with nowhere to go beyond that point. So we're talking proper pacing for storylines. King Lucky, how can each one learn from each other? What they're doing wrong, maybe what they're doing right. Is he right about this? Is he wrong? What's your take?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at, yes, they can learn from each other, but you talked about the Sasha and Bayley thing. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of things that have happened in between that. You know, Sasha left the company for a little bit. You know, a lot of different things have changed. Mm-hmm. So I have no problem with where they're going with that storyline.
Okay.
I think ultimately the payoff will be good. And they've stayed the course. You know, and right when you think they're going to, you know, turn or open the storyline up, then they go a different direction. So it keeps you guessing. And then you look at an AEW with what they did with their talent, like, Brody Lee, and now Brian Cage. These guys are coming in at the top of the card. And I'm never a fan of somebody coming in at the top of the card, because if they get beat, then you got to walk back, you know, and go through, like, another rebuild. So I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah.
I think that they can learn proper pacing. And I think WWE a lot of times doesn't do enough pacing. You know, we talked about it earlier with the crash booking, but this is one storyline for whatever reason with this one, Otis, that they've really grabbed a hold of and just held on to it. But yeah.
Okay.
Pacing definitely needs to be part of the wrestling business.
So what do you think, Sin City Steve? I mean, they do make some good points here about WWE terrible. He says it's a terrible track record, but they have a track record of stretching things too long. And then at the same time, we do know AEW seems to take folks they sign in right to the top. So, you know, proper pacing for storylines here. What's your take on it? How can they learn from each other here?
Well, I mean, they need to temper things a little bit more. I mean, you have Brody Lee immediately show up and go after Mox. So literally he gets unveiled and immediately he's in a feud with Jon Moxley. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere for him to go but down at that point. Whereas, you know, I would have even liked for them to do, you know, kind of like what they're teasing right now with Colt Cabana, do that, do something like that first.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if there's fallout, if Colt joins or, you know, whatever, or if he shuns them, then you immediately go right into the program between Brody Lee and Colt Cabana.
Yeah.
I mean,
Steve, I got a question for you. Steve, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
If Cabana goes with the Dark Order, will he then be known as Colt Cabana?
Colt. Get it? Colt. C-U-L-T.
Cabana. Well played. Colt Cabana.
I thought of the same thing, too.
I like it. But yeah, they could definitely temper things. I mean, realistically, at this point, fuck it. Have Brian Cage go over at the pay-per-view.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
Have Brian Cage go over at the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Only way to do it.
Yeah, yep. That's the only way. Otherwise, you're immediately going to kill him, and you're going to kill any credibility that they're trying to build with he and Taz.
Right.
Have mm-hmm. have Cage beat the shit out of Moxley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have just yeah. do it. Pull the fucking trigger.
Right.
And I say that being obviously a huge Mox mark, but no, like that's the only way that this storyline with Brian Cage can resolve that will benefit actually both guys.
Sure.
So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Matt Michaels or Simon Street, did you want to add anything to that or are we going to go to the next one?
I will add one thing.
Go ahead.
I will say one of the things that I like a lot when either one of the, well, AEW I think hasn't done it yet, but when any wrestling promotion has done it, when you have a grand champion fall off his ass and lose, the journey back. Mm-hmm. I love when that storyline goes out because if they do it correctly and you have the champion, the fallen champion, see the errors of his ways. And at that point, you know, make the necessary adjustments. And then even if it's possible, go back. So in the scenario of, you know, Moxley and Cage, let's say Cage just destroys the fuck out of him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Victimizes him, right?
Yeah.
And then you have Moxley go into this angry depression type of thing for a second, get over it and rebuild, restructure, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then go back and be able to get back at Cage, whether it be for a title shot or whatnot. I think that would be a fantastic story. I think it would be great. I like when other promotions have done it. I think it'd be really good. And it shows more of a dimension to that character because everybody knows you have a person when they come into the business, they have their established character, they have them in the aspect of being a champion. And then you have them, you know, if they lose the championship, what are they going to do afterwards? And I've seen a lot of people fall short, especially WWE, has fallen short real bad to where someone loses the title and they just kind of fade into black. So,
yeah.
That's all I want to add to that. Mm.
Okay. So this is, I'm going to send over to Matt Michaels and then it'll be back over to you, Simon Street. The next one is creating characters and cutting promos. Now, for a storyline to be awesome, it needs to be great writing and interesting characters. Every part of the process needs to be in sync. AEW can use more creative guidance for each performer, but nowhere near the tight shackles WWE needs to loosen up. So when someone in AEW isn't natural on the mic, it shows just as much as when WWE has someone spitting out lines that they don't believe in. The same goes for gimmicks. At one point, AEW had far too many stables that tried to be a dark and edgy cult-like entity. Eventually, the Nightmare Collective had to go, and it's just wasn't working. In WWE, they avoid that problem by making sure ideas don't overlap and it doesn't saddle everyone with great gimmicks to avoid blandness either. So, Matt Michaels, creating characters and cutting promos, how would you say this is being shown between both companies? And is there any way one can learn from the other?
I think in some regards, they've learned in terms of production value.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're now seeing better video packages on both ends,
mm-hmm.
Which is allowing them to do the film matches as well. But, I mean, listen, it's always been a problem. If you don't believe in the character you're portraying, it's going to suck.
Yeah.
You know, plain and simple. And you're put in a position, AEW has more freedom. Because most of these guys are coming in and they're giving them the okay. You know, what would you do if you're Vince McMahon and you show him a tape of Orange Cassidy? I think Vince would, like, probably love it, not get it at all, and hate it, but still love it, but still not really understand it. You know?
Yeah.
I think that, you know, AEW has a freedom that WWE doesn't have, and that's, you know, Vince's control.
Yeah.
But at the same time, WWE has a track record of establishing characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And what is a character has changed drastically, too. You know, you see it with you got Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles.
Mm-hmm.
All they need to be is themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the new, you know, that's the new way of looking at it, is they don't necessarily need a character.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, you do still have ideas being tried of characters. So you're going to see it. You're going to see it both ways.
Simon Street, can one make the argument, especially with WWE, that, well, look, they have the performance center, so not only they can train well, but they also can get the practice of creating their characters and cutting promos to get better, which AEW doesn't have. Sort of that training facility to be able to do that. But what would be your take on when it comes to both sides? And can one learn from one of the others when it comes to creating characters and cutting promos? What do you think?
I mean, definitely both sides could definitely gain to see the other side of the, you know, the other side of the street per se. But what I will tell you is that that's pretty cool is it's kind of like with this whole article, like whole premise is basically like I look at it as the gift and the curse, you know, with one thing that one side is able to have. So such as you said, the performance center with WWE, right? You have all that resource, mm-hmm. you know, that you can use. You can put through new talent or take back old talent, any talent. To where you can provide them with resources to be able to help them improve. Mm-hmm. Now, AEW obviously does not have those type of resources at a great scope, but at the end of the day, they do have freedom creatively. So they may be able to find some gains or resources within that. Obviously, you know, trial by error for AEW, what works, what doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that WWE can definitely learn if we did implement into our culture and how we ran our business of what's a way can we make steps of maybe not being as creatively our freedom,
yeah,
granting creative freedom with all of our talent like AEW does.
Mm-hmm.
What's a way can we start incorporating that, because then we can breathe a little bit of new life into our product so that way we're not constantly have to utilize that source of having to go back in there. And on the flip side with AEW, maybe with the successes they have achieved so far, hopefully their plan moving forward in the future is to have something similar to the PC. You know what I mean? To where they can develop you know, talent that they do have, because there's a lot of gems on both sides of the track. You know what I mean? And with that, you want to be able to set them up for success the best way you can based on what resources you have. And if you want to acclimate to be better and beat the competition, you have to start planning and putting those things in place right now. and be realistic with your goals. And I think that both companies tonight, especially AEW, AEW knows what they have. They know what they don't have. And they're utilizing what resources that they do have. I think it's great that they constantly having, and not to say that WWE doesn't have it, but utilizing a lot of veterans to really kind of help. And you see it on camera, but you all see it probably behind camera, I'm sure. WWE has always had a long history of having that. But I think that for them, they've already made this machine to where it's just like part of their culture is and their business model is you get new talent, have them go to the PC, have them set that up and train them, get them going. And, you know, we're going to move them wherever they have to go. So, I mean, in further note, I think both sides can greatly learn a great deal from each other's perspectives and how they operate.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it does say AEW could use more creative guidance for each performer, but nowhere near the tight shackles that WWE needs to loosen up. So I think they make that point. I'm going to go to the next one, but Sin City or King Lucky, I don't want to give you that opportunity to not speak on it. Did you want to say anything or you want to go drop to the next? You good?
I mean, yeah, everything was just pretty well articulated.
Yeah, okay. Very well. And okay. Just the one thing is that WWE just needs to throw out the scripts. That's what made the promos and the characters so big back in the day.
Yeah.
Is that they could just, you know, they would probably give it a few points.
Yeah.
But they weren't given so much that you get out there, you're inundated, and, you know, it just seems robotic. So.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. So we got two more. This is going to be coming over to you, Sin City. And again, this is all of these that that's mentioning in this article from Bleacher Report is just saying, hey, maybe they can learn. And we're talking the WWE and AEW could kind of learn from one another, one being experienced, the other being new. Maybe we can learn something from each other. All right. So the next one is educating the audience. And so it says every episode of any TV show could be someone's first time watching. It's up to the storytellers to give new audience members enough information to keep up without ruining the experience for longtime fans. AEW plays to a crowd that has been following all wrestling for years and assumes everyone has the knowledge, which can leave people confused. WWE, meanwhile, plays too much to the casual viewer, which can leave long-term fans feeling patronized. So Sin City, I mean, good points here. Educating the audience is important. What would you say? How can each one learn from each other? Or are they doing anything right? Whether they're doing wrong? What's your take on it?
So I think that ultimately there's a quote-unquote AEW fan and there's a quote-unquote WWE fan. And, you know, whatever camp that you fall into, completely up to you. I mean, that is generally, you know, that is 100% personal preference. And I'm not going to, you know, dog on anybody for only watching WWE content. Obviously, I give a little bit of shit on the show, but that is, you know, just to keep things bouncing and having fun. Absolutely. But like, realistically, at the end of the day, wrestling is wrestling. So the thing is, when you work with two vastly different sects of fans, you have you're going to have gaps. So I think that this article yet again hits the nail right on the head.
Yeah.
And saying that, okay, well, AEW is like an inside joke, essentially. And there are some fans that are in on the inside joke. Mm-hmm. But the thing that they tend to forget about is that there are quite a few fans that are not in on that inside joke. And that can alienate some of the people that are tuning in for the first time. I think that, you know, what immediately comes to mind is the Dark Order. Mm-hmm. The Dark Order, you know, when I had mentioned that, you know, it's basically a caricature of Vince McMahon, is what Brody Lee's doing.
Yeah.
There were a couple of people on the show that, you know, they were in disbelief about it. So it's one of those things where, you know, if that's what you're going to do, if you're going to play to that segment of fans, great, but bring some people up to speed a little bit more. Obviously they can't say this is Vince McMahon, blah, 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 but they can, you know, say some other things to get the point across that, hey, you know, this is a gimmick that's based off of actual real life observations of this other individual, or not naming him, obviously.
Right.
But, you know, people in power and management and things like that, and strongly hint, that it is a caricature of Vince. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where this definitely hits the nail right on the head.
Yeah.
WWE will video package it to death. Last night, sorry. whenever you're hearing this backlash, it was one of those things where I intentionally started the pay-per-view about an hour behind, because I knew that there were going to be about an hour of video packages that I could just fast forward through, because I already knew what to expect for the matches.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what I wanted to see. So it's one of those things. Obviously, it's the nature of the beast. Like what I've mentioned earlier, you know, WWE, they're doing it to get people invested into the characters and into the storylines, which I get. And that's completely cool, because you have to have that emotional attachment. But there's a little bit too much, seemingly, courting of casual fans. And at that point, you have to think about, okay, are they trying to get back casual or lapsed fans, or are they wanting to focus on the existing fans that they already have?
Yeah.
So you can't go both sides. So it's definitely a pickle that both companies find themselves in. I definitely think that they could learn a lot from each other.
Yeah.
In both respects, for sure.
Well, okay, King Lucky, in the same section of educating the audience, it is, as Steve mentioned, it is true that WWE will show lots of videos. It even mentioned in that same article that it even jokingly says WWE must think fans have memory of a goldfish and requires recaps of everything from earlier in the same night, which is pretty funny. But it also says that WWE does a good job of educating everyone on fresh talent. And the example they used for that was when Matt Riddle was moving to SmackDown. But maybe you could speak on this, King Lucky. I mean, when AEW brings in lesser known independent wrestlers, though, they're often spoken of as if everyone knows their history. And indie wrestling is much harder to follow, so it's forgiven if someone doesn't know a wrestler history from a small federation or promotion such as Impact, MLW, ROH, or New Japan Pro Wrestling. So where would you go with this one? How can each learn from each other in this particular case?
Well, I mean, Steve mentioned it earlier with WWE having the video packages. And I always say nobody does it better when it comes to presentation than WWE. So I'm actually a fan of the video packages. I don't think I need to see them, you know, multiple times during a show to get the point across.
Yeah.
But to me, you know, I like that part of the presentation. It tells a bigger story. And I think that AEW, even though there may not be a lot of footage that you could use or things like that, you could still maybe create some vignettes that would help tell a story of this talent.
Yeah. Okay. Matt or Simon, anyone you want to add to that, or you want to get to your last point?
For fuck's sake, let's get to the last.
Well, I was going to say one thing, just only because Go Matt ahead, Michael Simon. Said, let's move to our next point.
Right.
Nah, I'll make it real quick. The one thing I want to see if y'all can chime in on it. Remember a long time ago, WWE did this a lot, as well as WCW. They had a specific freaking show that would be all of their vignettes and video packages that they had for whatever upcoming pay-per-view they would have. Now, my next thing that I would say that would be great, instead of having a dark match for AEW or having a pre-show for WWE, why don't you just have that be where you just show the shit out of all of your video packages, and that's the segue for that casual viewer, so that way they can watch it and catch up before the actual pay-per-view. It's already separated as far as WWE is concerned. I mean, mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Hold on. Let me ask. Michaels, what do you think about that logic? Are you going to be a rain cloud or my sunny day of logic?
What's the next question, man?
Man, if you were a fucking Care Bear, you'd be freaking sun. What they call Cloudy Day Bear? What's his ass name? What's his name? I'm gonna call you Cloudy Day.
All right, let me go over to you, Matt Michaels. So this is pretty much the last point that he was making in this from BleacherReport.com. And we're just seeing how both companies can learn from each other. Size is relative when it comes to the roster. Like everything else is all about balance. Not every job requires all the tools, but having 100 hammers means nothing if you're looking for a screwdriver. Ooh, look at that, man. That's something we can learn from. Okay? Let's see what he's talking about, though. WWE recently went through a huge round of releases, which included dozens of superstars. Even with 10 hours of programming in the field each week, the roster was too bloated, and many wrestlers did nothing for months. With more talent at his disposal, though, the company will always have options for different circumstances. However, AEW Dark has relied almost entirely on unsigned talent to avoid the employed roster running out of fresh matches. The AEW's women divisions lack depth, particularly in losing any of Nyla Rose, Hikaru Shida, Britt Baker, or Chris Stratlander would be devastating for the company. And variety extends to styles, too. Only recently has AEW addressed the fact that most of its rosters was on the smaller side, and at one point, Luchasaurus was the only, quote, big man, end quote, on the team. With Brian Cage, Lance Archer, and Brody Lee now signed up, not everyone is doing the same type of wrestling. So, got to ask you, Matt Michaels here, when it comes, size is relative when it comes to the roster for both companies. How do you see which one is maybe doing better with the other with their size in their company?
What were those names again?
So the names at the end of name with Brian Cage, Lance Archer, and Brody Lee?
No, the one about the just a little bit before in the paragraph before with a bunch of AEW names.
You got Nyla Rose, Shida Baker, and Statlander.
Okay.
And they were saying that if they lose any one of them, it would be devastating for their company.
Really? How many did they just lose?
Look like we're going to be two on that list.
So if at first, if I was Nyla Rose, I would be protecting myself in bubble wrap right now. This writer just fucked everyone he just mentioned. Listen, the roster is only as good as the creativity it allows you to use, right?
Yeah.
So the fact of the matter is that people complain about the WWE because they got all these guys, but they don't use them right, blah, blah, fucking blah.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is each one of those people are competing against each other for a job. And yeah, they're not all going to get utilized right, or what you think is right.
Yeah,
but the truth of the matter is that I would rather have 1,000 pieces that I can continually grow, move around, reorganize, reshuffle, start brand new on certain people. If you want, you know, I'd rather have that than being limited to, you know, here are our top 20 people in the company, 30 people in the company.
Mm-hmm.
Because with that, that's where you get very stale.
Yeah.
Even Vince, with all the talent they have, you can see when it gets real stale, it's when they're using the same people over mm-hmm. on a regular.
Yeah. So what do you think, Simon Street, on that, man? Size is relative when it comes to the roster.
It's all depending on, I'm going to say a cliche comment, size all based on how you use it. But beware, because some given situations, if you lacking in their size, you're going to find yourself on the short end of the stick, no pun intended. And just a tip. But, you know, Matt Michaels said it perfectly in what regards to AEW. AEW's women division, I love women's wrestling. It is very shallow. You know, and it look at now, they're really trying to launch Penelope to put her out there, obviously adding her in.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be other people that are, they're going to try to bring some more people. Obviously, Big Swole is another person that they're trying to put in the rotation more often. Mm-hmm. And I think the great thing that WWE has been able to do is, and maybe it's just my perspective, I look at NXT, and they're now starting to cultivate more of its female talent in hopes to start either A, shuffle them up to the to the main roster or something like that. If you look at the women's tag team titles that will be defended on Wednesday, you're going to see a pairing that I think we've only seen one other time, maybe two other times in the last month. Mm-hmm. So I mean, again, WWE's learned some lessons from a long time ago of we're just going to have a whole bunch of people. And like Matt Michael said, more pieces, the better.
Yeah.
But again, WWE can do that. AEW is looking to try to accomplish that.
Okay.
And I got to give kudos to AEW for, whether they intentionally shuffled or was already part of the plan, okay. Putting the right people in play right now, like the two names I mentioned.
Okay. Sin City or King Lucky, did you guys want to add anything to that story?
Everything's good.
Okay. Well, fellas, with that is our three count for tonight. And we appreciate everyone for listening. So, let's do this. Haven't heard from you, Sin City Steve, in a while. Go ahead and give your final thoughts of the show, man.
Cool. Well, I just want to say thank you to everybody that's listening to us. The one thing that I would mention is if you listen to us and you like what we're doing, do me a favor. Make sure that you're subscribed. If you are, awesome. Thank you. We appreciate it. If you are subscribed, just do me a favor over the next week. Obviously, you're gonna contact other people, okay? Just let one person know about the Vegas Bad Boys. Just one. Just let one additional person know so that way – next week, mm-hmm. we'll have them listening to us. They might be watching us. Who knows? this is how it starts. We're wanting to build a community, and we want you guys to all be with us as we just build this thing and grow it into taking over the world. And also, storefrontier.com/Vegas Bad Boys. If you like the Vegas Bad Boys, go get your merch there. 847,328 designs,
yep.
Updated
and counting
daily.
Yep.
I think there was just another design that was just uploaded just now. Perfect. So go there, get that done.
Yeah.
And yeah, Vegas Bad Boys, right there on storefrontier.com.
Yeah.
We got a special design. It's, in honor of, Chris and Britt, it's our logo on a picture of a torn ACL.
Well, the good thing is we have people who are receiving shirts. One person, if you check on Vegas Bad Boys, we have Shaw Guerrero, daughter of Eddie Guerrero, got her shirt. She's looking really good in it. And we have many more. So you get them while they're hot. Because the price will go up based on demand.
Okay. There you go. Well, go ahead.
As always, I just want to thank everybody listening to us. 30 plus countries that listen to us now, they'll be able to watch us, which is really cool. And then you have, when you listen to the show, I just want you to go in simply and put a review. You can just say, these guys are awesome. 5 stars. That's all I want.
All right. Thank you. King Lucky, who will smark for food. Simon Street. Final words, man.
Wow. Thank everybody. It's going to be the one thing that we say across the board. Thank you so much for supporting us if you're doing it now. For everybody that's been day one and past that, that's continued to support us, thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
And one game that I'm waiting to get that's coming up, which will feature some of the people we've had on the show, is Retro Mania, which is going to be coming out in July. Super excited for that.
Yes.
I think me and Sin City Steve are going to be playing that on Steam.
Okay.
Awesome game. DLC, if you get it right now, Chris Bay, DLC character. So I believe it is going to be on all platforms. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's crossplay, but you can get on PlayStation, Nintendo Switch, Xbox, and PC. So super excited for that game to come out. And that's pretty much all I have. You know, hopefully everybody has a great week.
Let me just give you one quick question, Simon Street. And I mean, make it like 30 seconds or less, okay? I know you probably saw reports of the new PS5 that came out. I'm just curious, what is your thoughts on the design? And are you looking forward to any games that are announced? And what's your take on that? I'm just curious, as a gamer.
Well, definitely PlayStation 5 and not to leave out of the realm of Xbox Series. That's coming out. There's some big ass boys. I'm gonna have to put them on the side of my stand because they're huge. Mm-hmm. But excellent hardware. Everything looks great. They'll roll out with some more games. It's gonna be like any other system. You're gonna have a little bit of last generation with the new generation, but it looks great.
Okay. Gran Turismo. Say that again, King.
Hello.
Gran Turismo. Yeah, okay. That's gonna be an awesome game.
Yeah. Got you, Matt Michaels. What you got?
Good night.
Okay, I guess he's pretty serious. Well, then let me say this then. We did get a chance to go by Chop Stop, which if you like salad bowls, salad wraps, if you like salad, it's a great place to go and grab you some good nutritional, healthy food. They just opened up. We were invited. Shout outs to both. Square. I'm sorry?
Town Square.
Yeah, Town Square. Oh, you want to do the promo now?
No, you're doing such a good job.
Doing it. So, it's just helping you out, man.
You want to show up now?
I've been showing up, baby.
No, I'm talking about Simon Street. Anyway.
I couldn't come. Let me go. Oh, my goodness.
Look at that. He got his mute on. That's funny.
Muted.
So, look. So, I want to thank Mark and Chris.
Trying to see him punk my ass.
who we received the invite to come in, and they had a great grand opening. It is over at Town Center, if you're here in Las Vegas. Town Square, which is right behind the Fry's Electronics. So if you know where that's at, then you'll easily be able to find it. Chop Stop. Great place. We thank them again. We should, if we don't already, should have a post with us and the owner on our IG page. So go check it out, and I'm sure you will be happy with that. So with that, everyone, thanks again for listening, and we'll be back next week. Peace.
Yeah.